Everything's better electrified, including the first ever Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Evolve your journey beyond the pump. Visit a Hyundai dealer or learn more at HyundaiUSA.com or give them a call, 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Dave Coulier is going to join us in studio. Always funny. And we'll do the news as well right after this. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Hey, sports fans, it's Chris Howard, former Jacksonville Jaguar running back and 1997 National Championship running back from the University of Michigan. Get plugged in with me every week as I'll be breaking down the biggest topics in the world of sports and entertainment. Join me and my special guests for some honest conversations about sports and life when the cameras are no longer flashing. I'll also be breaking down weekly matchups for NFL and college football games. Be in the know, listen to, and follow Plugged In with Chris Howard now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dave Coulier. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a special new book preview with Mike Lynch. And now, Everything Reminds Him of Something, and this is to remind you to pre-order Everything Reminds Me of Something today at AdamCarolla.com. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Our church is going to make it. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Surprise.
Dave Coulier back in studio.
It's been too long.
Always great to see our friend Dave Coulier.
It's been a long time, it feels like.
Yeah.
It says May 2016.
I remember because I believe I may or may not have poached you from the morning show I was on with Mark Thompson.
Right.
And we needed you back.
So good to see you, Dave. I know a lot's gone on with our old friend Bob Saget, who passed, God, has it been 4 months? No, 3 months?
I don't know. Yeah,
more? Sounds about
yeah,
right.
More.
More. The time for me is getting screwed up as I get older, and then COVID was like adding steroids to my pre-existing condition of not being able to figure out how old anyone was or when the last time I saw him was.
But it's been about 6 months.
Jesus Christ. So I guess we should talk about that before we get into all the all the other ins and outs of Dave Coulier's life. Who told you of the news?
Stamos called me. I was sitting in bed reading, and Stamos called, and as soon as I saw his name, John and I just automatically kick into let's goof around and do something stupid, you know, when we talk to each other. So I did that, and there was a pause, and John just said, Dave, Bob's gone. And I had texted Bob the day before, and the last thing I texted him was, have a great set tonight. And so we were texting back and forth, Bob and I, and we were making each other laugh with really inappropriate stuff, as we usually did. And it just was a heart punch. And I said, what happened? How can he be gone? And John didn't have all the information, but he said, you know, after his show last night, he fell and hit his head and died. Jeez. And it was that blunt and that shocking, and I just didn't know how to process it.
Yeah, I guess when somebody dies, if anyone ever has an elderly parent and you get that call and it's your sister and it's like, okay, there's context. I know what's going on here.
You may have been subconsciously preparing.
Somebody was on the team in high school and you haven't talked to him in a lot of years, and then some friend of his calls you, you're like, there's something. But if you're texting with the perfectly healthy, lucid, funny, and he's going out to do a set, it's not like, well, right, he was going to the Amazon to go on a zip line or something where you go, oh, shit, what happened? You know, there's like some walking out on a comedy stage, at least until 10 minutes ago, was a fairly safe endeavor.
Yeah, right.
But honestly, now, if you texted a comedian friend and said, I'm going out on stage, and then the next morning someone said he died, you'd think some maniac jumped up on stage because, Bob was fit and healthy and strong, and it just didn't make sense.
No, and it was really hard to transition from that heart punch to what do we do? Well, like, where do we go? How do we mourn? Are we going to all get together? Am I flying to LA, me and my wife? Like, what do we do? And so it was just the next 24 hours of trying to process, what do we do? What do we do now?
It strikes me that all you guys get along so well.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like the entire cast
is
strong. And so many bands don't go down that road, and so many sitcoms don't go down with the cast. Right. And my theory is this, but you guys can tell me. In any one of these ensemble situations, band or sitcom or comedy team or whatever, if everybody is good, there'll never be a problem.
Good at what they do?
No, just good. A good person. Okay. Like a decent, like, you know, Bob was such a good guy. Stamos a good guy. You're a good guy. There's not going to be conflict. If there's a situation, Sex in the City or something, there'll be a cast member who's a cunt. But she doesn't know it. She thinks there's something wrong with everybody else. And then that person will break off, and then there'll be an argument, and there'll be a dispute, and a contract, and a lawsuit. But it's always that person. It doesn't really happen when everyone is good.
Yeah.
I've observed, Dave, you tell me, I've observed like the Cranston corollary, which is when you achieve success later in life, you know what I mean? You're a little more, you're centered, you're grounded, you get along well with those people. I imagine, you're Canadian, so you're already on the good list, but like Saget and Stamos, like they achieve success, not out of the gates, but a little bit later on.
Well, I don't want to be a Brian-esque point shooter, but all the kids were on that show having crazy success. Nine.
They already had success.
Infants. Actual infants.
They did a
infants.
Pampers ad, a regional Pampers ad that had already aired in heavy rotation. Now, Brian's right. Yeah, but everyone.
I was alluding to the friendship, and everyone's so cool, the adults and everything.
Yeah.
It's a unique situation. We really love each other, and we've been through everything a real family can go through, marriages, divorces, births, deaths, pickups, cancellations, more pickups, more cancellations, and we've been through it. We've been very supportive. There's been some really rough times, you know, with Jody Sweetin, what she went through, and, you know, drug abuse, and then, you know, with Lori, what has happened in her life. And we've just really supported each other. It's a unique situation, and we still hang out, and we'll go to a restaurant, and we'll all walk in, and people go, did the cast of Full House just walk in for dinner? Like, what's going on here? I didn't think they hung out together in real life.
Sweeps week?
Yeah, right.
The Lori Loughlin thing is, the further you get from it, the more insane it kind of is.
Also,
she was incarcerated for a picture of a doctored picture on a crew team with their kid in USC. Yeah. I mean, feds showed up to her house. Like, okay, couple things. We live in a society where the guy's mind his own business at the bodega, gets attacked by a thug, defends himself, and he goes
to Rikers.
He goes in, and Lori Loughlin. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
My beef is like, okay, fuck. Half the people who go to USC, you know, had some rich somebody fudge something, but
the other half are Brian.
Did the feds need to show up at the house? Yeah, I talked to Garagos about this all the time. It's like, you just contact her lawyer. The lawyer says, you got to meet me down at the building and you got to turn yourself in at noon tomorrow. And you just show up.
Seems like a waste of resources.
Yes. Half the people that are being, you know, the former Trump deputy of whatever that they're arresting at the airport. It's like they can just call you and you'll walk. you'll walk yourself in. That's how they do it. They're not going to Mexico.
Yeah, if you would have asked me who's the one person from the Full House cast that you could imagine would have ended up being incarcerated, Lori Loughlin was last on that list.
Yes.
The last person. She's first of all, she's my best girlfriend in the entire world, and I've known her forever, and that's just not in her DNA to be evil to prison.
The thing is, it wasn't evil, right? It was she was trying her best to benefit her family.
Yeah, Chris, and people have been doing that for thousands of years for their children. Like, hey, here's a few bucks, you know? Like, and people build entire libraries so their kids can get into Harvard,
well,
you know?
And that became the debate. It's one thing to let your kid through the side door, but you can't let him in through the back door. It's like very nuanced all of a sudden.
And the guy who was the middleman was kind of creepy and weird, and it was just like...
Well, that was his cottage industry.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it was weird. The whole thing. I knew nothing about that whole world until this whole thing was exposed.
I file it under my victimless crime, even though technically there was one less spot for one kid to get into USC. But
some coxswain.
Yeah. So either way, I mean, boy, when you guys left the set after your last taping in 1992 or
1995. 87 to 95.
Who could have guessed all the crazy directions everyone's lives would take them?
Yeah, and certainly not Lori ending up in prison. You know, that was not on the radar.
That wasn't on the bingo card.
At all. No, no, not at all. Not at all.
So I'd say that my theory is that everyone has to be a baseline good person, and then if everyone is at their base a good person, then these relationships can continue and flourish. And then if there isn't someone who can't hang with the relationship, it's usually the person who's Kim Cattrall'd out or whatever.
Like the body pushes out a splinter. You know what I mean? They'll be excised over time.
Right. Yes. My only lament is that person never knows it's them.
Yeah.
Right.
They think there's a problem with
everyone's
the other six people in the band.
Okay, I've wondered about, do you think Kim Cattrall thinks it's everyone else?
Well, she's made that fairly clear in interviews, I feel like.
Yeah,
everybody always thinks it's everyone else.
At least that it's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Isn't there a medical diagnosis called histrionic behavior?
There sure is.
Yeah, and so that person would be histrionic, and they would just think, it's never me. It's always that other person's fault.
Incurable.
And I kind of agree if it's you versus the bass player in the band. But if it's you versus the other five people in the band, then maybe we should find a mirror or still body of water. Well, on another tragic and sad note, somebody tweeted me a story out of Las Vegas that Dawson has showed Dawson.
Crazy Horse 2 strip club to be demolished by Las Vegas officials after a string of fires.
Say it ain't so.
Oh, boy.
A famed Las Vegas strip club will be demolished after it suffered a string of fires over the past month. Crazy Horse 2 will be demolished by the city of Las Vegas after code enforcement officials were on site on Monday and Tuesday. City of Las Vegas spokesman Jace Radke said a demolition notice was issued June 30th. Quote, city staff are in the process of obtaining bids to demolish the buildings. Bids are expected to return next week. If the city ends up demolishing the property, the cost would be reimbursed to the city by the new property owner or by the property owner. Crazy Horse 2 has suffered three separate fires in 5 weeks.
Snake bit.
Wow.
Okay, first of all, we need Rich Banks and Mike Lynch for String of Fires.
Yes.
For Johnny Cash. Also, I just learned this phrase not very long ago, and it's horrible, even though I started laughing. I'm Jewish. Is this Jewish lightning? Jewish lightning.
Oh, is that like an intentional? Yeah.
Jewish lightning.
You're not, are you not? No.
I've heard that for years.
Yeah.
I thought it was that Jewish NASCAR driver from the 50s.
He raced the 36 Olympics. Shocked.
They make that in a still, don't they? Jewish lightning.
Poor little Pruno, little Manischewitz. When you intentionally set it for their insurance
money. I thought that seems more like Italian lightning to me.
Yeah. I called that.
I saw Goodfellas.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to burn this place down. Okay? What once was one man's field of dreams, you know, if you build it, they will come. You know, it's going down. Little Jewish lightning here.
I'll
shoot you in the foot, spider.
I've already created a job for myself, which is I'd be like, all right, you know, they roll in the wrecking ball and the backhoes and the tractors. I'd be like, look, I'm going in. I'm going to clear out the bar and I'm going to flush out any of the ladies that are still in there. So give me 3 days.
Want to be thorough?
I'll be out.
And
I may have some equipment from the DJ booth. And then you guys come rolling in like the cavalry.
Can you imagine that dark day when the bulldozers roll up?
She's my... I've been working here along with my partner, Dutch, who's on the other mic over there. Still got the businessman's lunch coming from noon to 3, and then the wrecking ball rolls in about 3:45, so you may want to get in on that bottomless bucket of shrimp before the plaster starts coming from the ceiling. Now, we've had some issues. Dutch is a smoker. He's kind of a stress smoker. Usually takes it out to the parking lot, but after that incident with that Black Lives Matter march, Dutch is now taking to doing it in the kitchen. And Dutch, I don't know if you want to do a mea culpa about the fire, but I know you're smoking pretty close to the flambe pan there. Any thoughts?
It's kind of like a Dutch oven.
Mm.
That's what it was.
That's what we call it in the booth when after Dutch would eat Thai food. Yeah.
It was a Dutch oven.
Well, I've been here most of my adult life. If you can call it adult life, calling out fake names, playing songs from Twisted Sister, and drinking champagne on the mini bottles. But I'm sticking here to the end. And as a matter of fact, Dutch, maybe I shouldn't be saying this over the microphone, but I'm going to go ahead and chain myself to that bulldozer. I'm going full Jane Fonda, circa 1972. You can't take this down. It's an institution. Now, you want to take down Gentlemen's Club? You want to take down Crazy Horse 4, Crazy Horse 4 through 19, or Crazy Horse out in Lompoc? That's your business. But I'm sticking to this thing, and I'm going to chain myself to the... sorry if I'm getting emotional, but it's just some of the best times I ever had here. Remember, I didn't have no pimp hand before I came here at all. I came in here, and first thing Dutch said to me, he says, where's your pimp hand? I said, I don't even have one. He said, well, it's not even strong or weak. You got to go get one. So I went out to the Jeep and checked under the seat. The pimp hand wasn't there. And I'm rambling on, Dutch. I'm going to collect myself. Final thoughts, good times over here, the years, the time we did rails off the Boston record albums, all the times you walked the strippers back out to the car, man. And end up getting blown in the parking lot by the dumpster.
That really was more than a feeling.
Yeah. Hold on, Jade, is she still... Jade's wearing a helmet? Jade, take that helmet off, bitch. Jesus Christ.
Dark day.
Dutch is... It's been a pretty emotional roller coaster. We've had some good times. We had some bad times. Remember when the NHL All-Star game came to Vegas and a couple of those Canucks got a little too lit and Dutch had to step in and give him a little high stick. I remember that. Well, mm-hmm. That was Dutch at his finest. And then the time I found Dutch crying in the men's room. That was kind of Dutch at a more of a lower moment in his life, you know?
A little cross-checking.
Yeah, it's been the highs, the lows. Should make sure, is Kenny still working the bathroom, handing out the mints and the Paco Rabanne cologne?
Polo and canoe.
Polo and canoe. Is he still in there?
Yeah, he's in there.
We may want to flush him out, so to speak, because that wrecking ball's coming about 45 minutes. Now, he's a guy who's going to – he's not leaving his post until that last dollar bill goes into that ashtray.
He's still handing out certs.
Old school.
Loves that drop of retzin, doesn't he?
Drop of retzin.
Oh, man, I'm getting emotional again now, Dutch. Boy, I tell you, we've had some times here, haven't we?
Oh, and the girls were just adorable.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not a word I use often, but I'll tell you, adorable. They were adorable girls.
You want to go with me and chain yourself to the bulldozer out there, Dutch?
I'm there. I'm there.
I know a few guys over at TMZ. Maybe I can get some press on this.
Great. I'll wear my Davy Crockett hat.
Wear the Crockett hat. I'll go ahead and send the text out. You know, ever since that whole insurrection thing where the Chewbacca guy got loose in there, I'd say go ahead and put that take that Davy Crockett hat and just go ahead and leave it in here as a memorial.
Absolutely.
All right. So, see, you know what? Why don't you grab a...
Getting emotional.
Should grab any champagne still cold here?
Oh, yeah, under here, under the workbench.
Yeah, okay, we'll just grab a couple of those. It's a long walk to the bulldozer.
Oh, yeah, I'm thirsty anyhow.
And scene.
Sad day.
Very sad.
Sad day.
But I think you did it justice.
Well, I don't know when it was built or seems to me.
The house that Corolla built.
Yeah, seems to me. Any strip club stories, Dave Coulier?
I went to one in Montreal. The All-Star Game was in Montreal that year. And I went to a place called, I think it was called Chez Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to wear a suit.
Oh.
You had to wear a suit. So a lot of the gentlemen were there with their wives having dinner. And it was very upscale and you know, it was totally nude. But I remember having a steak and this woman's on stage pointed at me, and I went to cut into my steak, and I went, I don't know if I can do this. It was just, I had never experienced that before, like eating a nice dinner, and a dancer is kind of like 2 feet away from you.
They don't have, they don't have, I've been to a couple Canadian strip clubs myself. They don't have the rules. Here we have these rules, like if it's a bikini place, you can have a full bar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's topless, it's just beer,
juice bar,
and fortified seltzer.
No, there's
some
sort of panties or alcohol, one or the other choice for some.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we will serve beer and wine for topless, but if we're going full nude, and if you're going to keep your top on, you can have a full bar. Like, it was these weird.
You got morals.
Strange. I have no idea how they work.
Well, that was the invention of the juice bar, right? If it was full nude, you could literally only serve like a cranger ale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're looking at the history, a rich history, built in 72 under the name of Billy Joe's. Mm. Then
I remember Billy.
In 82, changed to Crazy Horse 2. And then Jenna Jameson, famous porn star Jenna Jameson, worked there in 1991.
Was there a Crazy Horse 1?
I believe there was.
There must have been a Crazy Horse 1.
This was spelled Crazy Horse also.
Yeah,
like T-O-O.
Very clever.
Huh.
How many of the patrons think knew the difference? How many of the girls knew the difference?
Crazy Horse was an actual guy, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Isn't this kind of appropriation?
It's an homage.
I'd never been inside a Crazy Horse or Crazy Horse 2. I don't think it had a Native American theme.
I know, but the most famous Crazy Horse is American Indian leader.
Yeah.
Is that...
A Lakota war leader.
Yeah. Aren't we besmirching his good name by opening a strip joint in Vegas?
They're
going to
have reparations now.
Or honoring.
It's going to be some reparations.
Yeah, I'd say it's an honor.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of reparations...
Although you think Olympic Gardens is offensive to the ancient Greeks?
Yes. Well, they wrestled in the nude, Brian, so that's a tip of the cap.
That's a very good point.
Last time Dave came here, he made us laugh heartily with his celebrity hand farts. And I can't remember how it went. I think we named the celeb and you did the fart.
But with context.
I can't remember. It was so off the cuff, and I don't know.
I seem to
remember.
Well,
let's just get to it.
Yeah.
Peter O'Toole.
Okay, the Lawrence of Arabia?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Peter O'Toole? Okay, so he's looking out. That was shot in 70 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
Sir David Lean, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's looking out. that beginning, he's just looking out, and you kind
just
of see him
vast
in profile.
Expanse.
It's that beautiful Sir David Lean shot, and you just hear.
Oh, just one.
One.
Just one.
Like a pop. One little pop.
Didn't expect it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I know you get asked all the time, but how about a Debbie Reynolds?
I do get, you know, it's
just. Do you
do like,
Debbie Reynolds?
Every day I get asked that.
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh.
Every day.
Man, I was kidding. I didn't know.
Right, here's,
okay.
Here's Debbie Reynolds. Do you want to name a film? I mean, look, do you want to get really specific here? Or you just want Debbie Reynolds, like,
fighting
is she walking,
with Carrie Fisher?
Is
yeah.
she walking out of a pool? Is she.
She's the, Carrie Fisher is drinking a Coke and smoking a cigarette.
Okay.
And she's a little tired of her crashing in the bunkhouse. Yeah. Thinks she should. Yeah, that's
just, it's a little it's a little loose back there.
You don't know until you hear it.
Yeah, you know, that's, no, it's like she's here.
That's Debbie.
Yeah.
I feel like when you're here many years ago, there was something to do with Oprah in pantyhose, and I'd love to revisit that. Or maybe you have a new take.
Gail in Spanx.
There
let's,
we go. Let's up
Gail,
the ante.
Gail in Spanx.
Right, let's do a twist.
Oh my. Yeah.
It's kind of tight because it's
dead nuts,
yeah,
dead nuts on.
It's holding it in.
Yeah.
It's holding it in. Yeah.
I'm going to try it again. Oh. I'm going to close my eyes and just do it again. And I was. Oh, yeah. That's Gail and Spanx.
Yeah.
If I didn't set it up, I would still go. That's Gail.
Yeah. If I hadn't seen you in a number of years and I just
in
came
Spanx.
Up and went.
Oh, yeah, Gail. Yeah, yeah.
Good to see you, Dave. That's Gail, right?
Yeah, it's Gail and Spanx. Yeah.
Keeping the Hollywood legend theme going. Now, maybe this is a bit of a deep pull, but Marlon Brando towards the end, like Island of Dr. Moreau, Don Juan DeMarco.
The Graduate, or The Freshman, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
So done.
Now, let's say...
That was it.
Let's say Gwyneth Paltrow is doing research for a new candle. And she's like in the lab and she's got her team around her. Yeah. You know, she's no chemist.
I got to stretch for this.
But
here we go.
All right. What would that sound like?
That's it. Yeah.
That's exactly
right
what that
to the point.
Like.
Yeah.
Man, you do not mince farts.
No.
Boom. They say brevity is the soul of farts.
The soul of shit.
Mm-hmm. Gina, any? I know you love Dolly Parton. I mean, I don't know if you're emotionally ready for that.
They say like never meet your heroes. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid that it's going to be too overwhelming for me. Dolly Parton, after a long day, just glad handing and kissing babies and asking the little kids, "Are you my boyfriend, Kenny Rogers?" Finally, back in her own trailer, in her own bedroom, and the day is over.
Mm. Here she comes.
Oh, yeah. So true.
Little Dolly fart.
You've always wanted to know. Yeah. Now you found out.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's like.
I have to go to therapy.
Let it just kind of wash over you, Gina.
I do.
Just to have a legend like that.
Yeah.
How about just Casey Kasem just before he introduces the number one song in America? Hold on, I didn't tell you the year.
Oh, okay. All right. That. Ooh. Sorry.
The year is 1970. Let's make it the year Crazy Horse 2 switch names. It's 1982.
1982, Casey Kasem. Is he wearing shorts or pants?
Jeez, I don't know.
Probably pants.
Pants.
Pants?
Yeah.
He's well dressed.
Oh, yeah. Started with the first quickie
just
and then
boom,
just
had
kinda,
a tag on
boom,
the end.
And then it's a release.
Yeah.
You know, you got the backswing and the follow through.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to challenge you.
All
someone who may have never farted in their life, Grace Kelly.
Oh,
in beautiful, her prime. Beautiful in her prime. Princess.
I don't know if this one will surprise you or not.
Okay.
Grace Kelly. I've got a little wetness on the hand
God.
Here. There we go.
Oh, no.
I wasn't prepared for that.
No, she wasn't prepared for that either.
Probably what took her off the road in Monaco. All right, now look, I know it's early, and I know you've probably been working on it, Johnny Depp, because he's been all over the news, but, you know, look, when you talk to impressionists, they'll go like, oh, I've been working on it, but sometimes it's not fully formed
or there.
And look, if you just want to pass, I get it.
No, this is good. Most guys will go Amber Heard, the whole
yeah. I think I got it. I think I, is this pre-Pirates, or do you want to go like now, current?
In the courtroom.
Very different.
Yeah. Let's go in England on stage with Jeff Beck.
Oh, recent.
Yeah.
And he put one foot up on the monitor. You know that move?
Yeah.
Just a quick pop.
Single pop.
Shades of Peter O'Toole.
Yes.
Man, all the greats.
I don't want to get political here. This is not what this is about. But one thing that we all took from President Trump's presidency was he loved fast food. He loved the taco salad with the big fried shell and the Diet Coke. He had like a Diet Coke button. I got to think that adds a little gas to your abdomen on a daily basis.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
We're getting in the water.
Pouring water on
We're going glycerin now. He brought his own tube of water-soluble lube.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's it.
Accurate.
When I told
a little greasy
my dad little, I was doing a podcast, this is exactly what he thinks we're doing. Strip club DJ, Coulier doing celebrity farts. No real hard news.
He's out there in the garage. I don't know what he's doing.
Last one. Okay. Francis McDormand.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
A lot of range.
Fargo?
Yeah, are we talking Raising Arizona?
No, keep in mind, in the war, what's the one she won the
Nomad?
Nomadland.
Oh, Nomadland.
Remember, she shit in a bucket.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So we have a baseline.
There's precedent.
And she's very, no makeup, no
frills.
And
I don't know if you foleyed that or she actually took a dump. Because, Dave, you got to call into Foley.
I'm surprised that I don't get more Foley work when an actor bends over in a film.
Right.
Here we go.
Wow. Great timber.
There it is.
Spot on.
I had to pull that one out of my ass for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Dave, don't cheapen the experience.
I know. You know, after that many quality farts and strip clubs, I don't know what I was thinking there.
All right. Coulier is going to hang. You know, it's funny. We're talking about asses. My Italian dad would always say, in the coulee. Hitting the coulee.
In the coulee.
Coulee meant in the ass, the butt. I think it was like Italian for your ass.
What are coulions, though? Aren't coulions balls?
Yeah, I think coulee was more East Coast. I mean, it's Philly.
Yes.
Right?
In Portuguese, it's culo.
Culo.
Oh, that's right. What my culo. Papa used to call me, my culo.
All right. We will. We got some news coming. Dave's going to hang. First, there's Hyundai. Everything is better electrified, like the guitar, toothbrush, cars, it's all better. And Hyundai has a wide range of electrified vehicles, including the first ever Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. You can use electric when you want or gas when you need it. It's your journey. Evolve it beyond the pump in the 2022 Tucson or Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Visit your nearest Hyundai dealer and learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Only available in select states. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. All right. So Gina's got the news queued up. Coulier, gonna hang, and we'll do the news right after this. Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Well, I just want to tell you about a quick podcast study here. As you know by now, we all do our very best to align the right sponsors to the podcast. It's a lot of work behind the scenes, and I'm incredibly grateful for your support. We're currently running a quick survey at podcaststudy.com, and we're giving the first 150 people a $10 digital Amazon gift card as an incentive to complete the survey. The information we hear from you about our sponsors is incredibly important to the show, and we can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes to help us out. I mean, come on, it's free.
cut us a break. Upon completion of the survey, you'll be asked to include your email address, and we will send the first 150 people a $10 gift card from Amazon. Go to podcaststudy.com, and thank you again for helping our show and our sponsors.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Dave Coulier's Birthday Cocktail Party for September 21st. Let's see who's invited. English sci-fi author H.G. Wells. The composer of the classical piece The Planets, Gustav Holst. Let's welcome the animator and cartoonist, best known for drawing Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, Chuck Jones. The man who might be able to tell you who shot JR, Larry Hagman. Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen is here. Newscaster Bill Curtis joined the party. Producer Jerry Bruckheimer is here. From Muscle Shoals, one of the Swampers, David Hood. One of the Eagles, Don Felder. Stephen King just walked in and scared the shit out of everyone. Let's welcome the affable Bill Murray. From Fargo and No Country for Old Men, let's welcome Ethan Coen. Actor Rob Morrow is here. Faith Hill. Ricky Lake. Luke Wilson. Liam Gallagher. Nicole Richie. And, in his first appearance since his assassination, Shinzo Abe. Dave Coulier is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow. Stack. Lineup. Live and Local's the name of the series. New episodes every Thursday exclusively on Flix. And you can also check out Dave's Instagram at D Coulier. I will spell it C-O-U-L-I-E-R. All right. Should we do a little news, Gina?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff face on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Oh, a quick correction. Pure Flix. I said on Flix. Pure Flix is where you can find Live and Local. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And by the way, Dave, I want to commend you and that crew for really like honing in on what makes it like a real radio studio vibe on that show.
Thank you.
I was like kind of like, you know, sitting there with my arms crossed going, okay, let's see. You nailed it. That your co-host is amazing.
Thanks.
The PD is amazing. You guys really, it's like you've actually worked in a radio station.
Well, I didn't want to do a caricature of a radio guy.
You didn't.
You know, I just wanted, the guy's kind of a curmudgeon, and I just thought, you know, he's in a really small market, but he's number one in a faith-based radio station.
But he can turn it on when the mic's hot.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest challenge for me was technically because they built us a radio station and I had to run the board. So I had to, you know.
You really ran the board?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the show is like 60% scripted and 40% improv. So when we have guests on, we're Zooming, you know, an interview can go any of a million ways, as you guys know.
Yeah, it's really
so
fun.
So it was, that's really, coming from you, that's really nice to hear.
It
thank
meant
you.
A lot.
I'm surprised, or maybe you do. It seems like radio, you should have some radio background with all the voices and characters.
I do, but it's when I was 18 years old. I just graduated from high school from Notre Dame in Detroit, Michigan, and I got a job the week I graduated. And I went to a now defunct progressive rock station, WABX, and I got a job as an intern there. And I still had braces on my teeth and long hair. And I thought, man, this is the greatest job ever. I love working for free. This is great. You know, but I got to meet some interesting people, you know, Ted Nugent, Bob Seger, you know, Detroit stalwarts, you know,
yeah.
Royalty in Detroit. So it was a really cool job. But for this character, I always, you know, remember like promoting shows, and you do those old AM stations that had been around since the 40s, and there was always that one crotchety guy who said, this coffee's terrible, you know that? There's not enough sugar in the damn world to make this coffee taste good. And you're on break, right? And then all of a sudden, you ready, Dave? Okay, my next guest is Dave Coulier. And it was like a magic trick. The guy would just turn it on.
Yeah.
And so I kind of pulled from those crotchety guys that I remembered on those old AM stations.
It's really well done. And I like the little Easter egg jokes for radio people. Like, but why are there five letters? You know, yeah. You can't explain it. Anyway, it really, really well
Thank
done.
Thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate those words.
Well,
thanks.
Let's keep up with the will they, won't they, Twitter Elon one life to live episode we're in. Because as expected, Twitter sued Elon Musk on Tuesday for breaking off his $44 billion agreement to purchase Twitter. Twitter asked the court.
I'm going to add to the list of things I'd like to do. I have a list of like to jump into a body of water with a knife in my mouth and go on stage and have a cape removed from me.
Be thrown out of a casino for counting cards.
I want to add to my list, I want somebody to threaten to sue me and I reply, get in line. That's what I want to add to that list.
That's very good.
Yep.
In the complaint, Twitter said Musk apparently believes that he, unlike every other party subject to Delaware contract law, is free to change his mind, trash the company, disrupt its operations, destroy stockholder value, and walk away. And on Friday, Musk claimed he was dumping the deal because Twitter failed to deliver the information on the bot accounts that he requested. But I've been digging a little bit, and it sounds, I mean, Twitter says we've given him everything. There's even something called, I want to say the fire hose, that's like the magic key of like, here is all the encryption data, here's everything you need. And he's still claiming we haven't given him enough. Is this a cat batting around the mouse?
I don't know. There's a lot of theories about what he's trying to do.
Well, he's already driven down shareholder prices.
Yeah. All right. But so he's the living embodiment of F me money. And you don't see enough F me money. You always hear about F you money, where, you know, someone goes, it's going to cost you more to defend this case in court than it would just to settle up. And you go, I don't care. I have principles, you know. But he is the embodiment of what you can do if you have a kajillion dollars and it doesn't make a difference. Also, you know, you have to think about, like, money to him. It's not just that he has a ton of it. It's that it fluctuates to the tune of billions of dollars. So it's like one day he wakes up and, you know, the stock price for SpaceX is high or whatever, and all of a sudden he's worth $275 billion. And then Rocket blows up, and now he's worth $215 billion. Like, he literally just lost $60 billion because of something on the NASDAQ or the Nikkei average. So he can throw around money. His relationship of up and down is not what ours is.
Right.
And let's say a law firm sues him. He can just buy the entire law firm.
That's right.
I'm buying you guys out. You guys want to make a profit? All right, I'm buying you.
Oh, my God. He's got to buy Crazy Horse, too, and make it into a law firm.
Law firm.
He's right.
Well, here's my question, which I don't understand. How come the richest people on the planet still don't use their money for projects?
Because
he had to raise the money.
So you stay rich.
That's how you stay rich, baby.
I guess. I wouldn't know.
You're trying to buy a house, right?
Indeed.
Using your money.
That would be foolish.
Like a fool. You should be using other people's money to buy that house.
That's true.
Yes.
We have an update, and Dave, we'll fill you in on this San Francisco couple that wasn't allowed to use their driveway. We have an update on that.
Yeah, there's a San Francisco couple who's been living in the same house for 45 years, parking in what it essentially looked like almost would be a front yard.
Like a paved over.
Paved over would be sort of like a carport minus the roof part. And there's rules. Like if you want to. My grandparents did this a million years ago, I think. I don't know if the city made them do it or not. But you want to turn your garage into a den, the city's going to go, well, you need a carport then. Mm. You need a place to park your car because we don't want you out on the street. But update. So anyway, the city got involved, told them they could no longer park in this place that they were parked at for 45 years. Then they could have got it grandfathered in if they found a picture from 1914.
They would consider it.
They would consider it. Then they found this grainy picture taken from a biplane, but they couldn't tell. It wasn't enough evidence that there was a car parked in the driveway in 1914.
Like literally with a buggy.
Yes.
And so they even showed a picture of their own child there in like 1974. And like, we've been using this, like, not old enough. Keep going back. So they found a buggy pulling in. Nah, we're not sure it's a buggy. So this week, the planning department reversed their decision, saying that now there's evidence showing the space has been used for a parking spot since
Oh, God,
since the 1950s.
They didn't even like give it up as like a goodwill gesture. They got some they proof.
They got their proof
them.
And they grandfathered them in. So, yeah, as the refresher, they dug up all these photos. Not good enough, not good enough. Finally, some picture from the 1950s surfaced and they said, fine, you can use your own driveway.
It is, you know, it's always funny.
Two elderly
that
people on a steep slope.
We have this, parking. We have this like society where we go, there's just not enough border patrol. There's just not enough school teachers. The classrooms are over. There's always enough people to look up shit that has nothing to do with anything.
Sure. You know, plenty of bureaucrats.
Right. There's plenty of guys at the Department of Building and Safety have an endless amount of time to comb through the archival records. So some elderly couple can park where they parked the day before and had been parking for 44 years.
Ample.
Yeah.
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 We've got a picture of a covered wagon.
That's right.
And a chariot. Look, it goes way back. There's a chariot.
And there's Cookie. He's ringing a triangle. It's dinner time, boys.
Yeehaw! Ask Dave about Cookie.
Oh, Dave. The name Cookie.
The trope of the guy in the...
Why would he be called Cookie?
I don't know.
Thank you.
I was with you, Gina.
I'm with you.
I'm with
and
you.
I'm with Dave.
I was the only crazy guy. It was like, you're all idiots.
Apparently, it's because...
genitalia thing?
He's the cook.
Or maybe he makes cookies.
Yeah, maybe when he makes cookies. Cooking.
Yeah, I didn't know. I never did it. I didn't do that
didn't
math either.
Nope.
If Cookie farted on that wagon train, Dave... Well, hold on.
A steady diet of beans, chili,
squirrels.
I'll say they're on the Muir Trail, and they hit a rough patch.
Winter came early.
Yeah.
That's right. There you go.
Bouncing.
That's right. Just bouncing along. All right, I don't want to have to call Stamos and be like, I got worse news. Saget. Dave died doing farts in the studio. I told him one cookie fart. He wouldn't stop.
He asphyxiated.
And then started turning red and he grabbed for his heart. And
his lung popped.
Sorry.
Oh, God. All right. Let's talk about one of your favorite guests from yesteryear. Mattel is honoring her.
Minka?
Close. Mm. Paying tribute to Jane Goodall. With its newest Barbie doll. The doll is modeled after the famed wildlife conservationist and primatologist, appropriately made almost entirely out of recycled plastic that would have otherwise made its way to the ocean. The new doll's release is intended to coincide with World Chimpanzee Day, which is today, as you hear this.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
Oh, is that not Chimpanzee
Adam floated
Day?
A theory about monkeys to fucking Jane Goodall.
She wasn't in my graduating class at the Groundlings, so she didn't exactly yes and me on that one. She told me how wrong
which kid on the planet is going to want that?
None.
Yeah.
None.
The only thing that might sweeten the deal is it does come with a little toy chimpanzee, but yeah, that's not the outfit that little girls are trying to emulate.
Brian, I hope it has one of those drawstring voice boxes, so when you go, hey, Jane Goodall, a Barbie doll, I have a theory about chimpanzees.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
But that looks like Steve Irwin's outfit.
Yeah.
Hey, Barbie Jane Goodall. I think my dad has a lot of love for me. I really do.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
Hey, Barbie doll Jane Goodall. I don't think my stepdad is sexually attracted to me anymore.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
There you
good.
Go.
The hits keep coming.
Oh, that was so brutal.
Yeah.
I can't. I wish I remember the Geo would tell us whatever the question I had for her was.
Was it a question in earnest?
I can't remember if I was fucking around or I was talking about chimps, but... Don't try to tell Jane Goodall her business. You know,
something
look,
we've all learned.
You can talk cars with her all day long. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I can see that.
But don't talk chimps.
Yeah.
No.
She will correct you in a
you
New York minute.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
Yes. I can't wait to hear that when they pull that clip.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, she's still around.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's doing good. She looks just like, who is Hume Crow? Jessica Tandy.
Is there... God, she's a saint, I'm sure, yeah. But does something go wrong in the raising, yeah, where your daughter says, I'm living with chimpanzees. Like, I'm done with human beings.
That's actually where the drop came from. Really? You were saying you must have hated your mother.
Oh, shit. And she agreed, right?
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
Perfect.
Then I must have been making a joke. Okay.
She was not amused.
No, not amused. Most people who live amongst wildlife for years on end have a splendid sense of humor, I've found, but not Jane.
I'll bet you she's had a lot of ticks in her hair and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's riddled with Lyme disease.
Ticks, yeah. Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, the monkeys, the gorillas probably pull it out.
They eat them.
Crotch ants.
See? Oh, my God.
Yeah, like tons of crotch ants.
You cannot imagine. You know, you sit down. Wrong you are.
You sit down on the ground, and all of a sudden, you're like, "Man, there's a burning fire!" crotch ants.
Is that what
they're called? Everywhere?
I like that Dave just lived out the entire crotch ant experience. You sit on an ant hill.
An ant hill. Well, now you got to sit down in the forest, you know, under the canopy, and you're sitting down, and there's chimps everywhere, and you sit down, and you're like, this is beautiful, and then, that burning, crotch ants, and they're just everywhere.
And are there crotch ants, or are there just ants that get into your crotch?
They're just ants, but if she's wearing those shorts,
yeah,
you don't have a chance with crotch ants if you're wearing outfit.
I hate to address the obvious, but I got to hear a Jane Goodall fart. Now, keep in mind, living in the jungle for decades.
Fruits, berries.
A vegetarian-based diet. Yeah. Maybe the occasional fallen chimpanzee.
And if you're out there, you're not getting a good wipe.
Let me put in a little sharper relief for you. She just got a crotch full of ants, and she's running for the lake. What would that sound like, Dave? And Jane,
musical.
Let's ask Jane if that would comport
that
with
right?
reality, or is that something?
Stop. You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
First strikeout.
Yeah. I missed it.
All right.
Yes, well, Jane. Here's a phrase that I've never heard before, and I challenge you guys to see if this sounds familiar to you. New York Jets quarterback Zach Wilson allegedly had an affair with his mom's best friend, according to his ex-girlfriend. And we have a picture of the mom, so I guess she keeps hot company. Ex-Abby Gile reportedly made the shocking claim that's the mom on in the middle right there. Mm. She's pretty cute, and the girlfriend's on the side.
Is it Topanga?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it does look like Topanga. Mm-hmm. So Abby Gile reportedly made the shocking claim after her new boyfriend and Washington Commanders star Dax Milne shared a snap of them loved up on Instagram. That's when one guy called her a homie hopper, and then she got pissed. She said, Wilson was sleeping with his mom's best friend. That's the real homie hopper. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with homie hopper?
No, but I didn't know about the Jew Blaze 10 minutes ago either.
George Lightning, yeah.
Yeah, so
I've heard of mowing another guy's lawn, but that wouldn't be the case here.
Well, this is someone who dates and then breaks up.
It's interesting that you phrased it that way. I mean, the phrase mowing another guy's lawn, because the great Norm MacDonald once regaled us with a story of getting with his friend's lady. And I said, where was the guy? You know, out of town? He's like, mowing the lawn.
Oh.
And I said, in a way, it's diabolical because you can just hear it, back and
if
forth.
If you can see
running.
The shark, it's okay.
Yeah. It's when it stops that you got to dismount. But I thought that was a pretty ballsy move by Norm,
Norm used to say the same thing to me every time, and it made me laugh every single time he'd see me. He'd walk up and he'd go, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. You're on a show. And it's a big show, but don't tell me. Don't tell me. And your last name's Collier. Hold on. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. It's a show, and you're on with some kids, and that's it. That's all I got. Your name's Collier, right? Every time he would say the same thing to me. And it made me laugh because I know I'd seen Norm coming, and I'd go, here he goes. He said, don't tell me. And as soon as he said, don't tell me, I just couldn't stop laughing.
Wasn't Norm's dalliance in the coulee?
It was in the coulee.
It was in the coulee.
Yeah.
He upped the ante. Put it right up her ante. Yeah, I remember that part.
Wait, what?
Brazen.
What?
He was
ruined her pale.
Having his way with
slapped
his
slapped in the bucket?
Yep.
Crotch ants?
Did he ask?
Yeah. You know, I don't know what protocol is.
You gotta fill out a couple of forms in triplicate first.
We have the audio of Jane Goodall from the podcast from September 2011.
Wow.
Ready.
My mother supported me. It was a crazy idea. World War II was raging. And, you know, we didn't have any money in my family. And Africa was the dark continent. And I was a girl, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
So... of course people laughed at me, but not my mother. If you really want something, you work hard, you never give up, you find a way.
Maybe so. She just wanted to get you out of the house, though. You know, I mean, this is all part of a ploy just to clear you out. It was this or boarding school.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
Good call, Doc.
Awesome.
Good pull. Yeah, I was making a joke. She's a serious woman of nature.
You. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let's see, that was 10-ish years ago, so she was just about hitting 80. So she didn't have time for your bullshit.
She's 90
she's
now?
She's 88.
Wow. 88, wow.
Yeah.
But how many years is that in crotch ant years? In crotch ant years.
No, she's 142.
142.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. Thor, now we talked about this in the past, how finally big movie studios are kind of saying feh to the Chinese market when we used to not do that so much. We used to cater handsomely. Thor, Love and Thunder, which is the top grossing movie in the U.S., is likely to be banned from China over LGBTQ content, mm-hmm. including suggestions that the character Valkyrie is bisexual and that the character Korg is gay. It would be the seventh Marvel film banned by Chinese authorities over this.
Yeah.
Kind of issues.
It's
we're over it.
It's interesting. I saw the movie.
And
it's like, it's campy. It's whatever. It's pushing a little hard on the humor department.
It's extremely silly.
I heard like real hardcore Marvel fans think it's too silly and are kind of pissed about it.
I could see that. Yeah. But it's fine. And he's always great. It's crazy. We're all kind of used to it now, but it's so diverse. Like when they go to Asgard and they collect the children of whatever, it's like the black kids and the Chinese kids and the white kids. And it's like back in the day when you had this sort of civilization that was made up of superheroes or whatever, it was pretty much one group or another group. The chick who... The queen of, I don't know where they were, Brian. I don't know they were in Asgard.
Are you talking about the Tessa Thompson character, Valkyrie?
Yeah, they got the black chicks, the queen. She's running the show.
She's actually the king.
No, the
Remember,
king.
They kept referring to her as the king of Asgard.
Right. Yeah, it's very diverse now.
Well, just to catch you, I don't know if you saw the previous one, Thor Ragnarok with Jeff Goldblum. Asgard was destroyed, and they relocated the entire planet or community some other place.
That nerd!
So you couldn't remake like a movie about the Three Stooges now without Larry being a woman?
No.
Larry would be a woman.
Lord of the Flies, it'd be three black kids and three Asian kids and three Hispanic kids, and it's just... It's you can kind of buy it on like a Cialis commercial where there's like the white guy driving the convertible and he's got his black friend like riding shotgun. But when you're on different planets, it bumps you a little bit when the queen's got dreads. But
I don't think the audience the audience is going to dissect it that much. Though
now I'm setting my ways.
Well, don't forget.
It's code for racist.
If I remember correctly, Tessa Thompson's Valkyrie character is not an Asgardian. She is like a great warrior and is thus named the King of Asgard.
Yes.
We get it. You're a nerd.
They're also, they try to do too much in films now. There's like too much going to the future and coming back. And
don't
it's just
see
like
Dr. Strange.
Don't see Back to the Future.
They just keep, it's so expansive. Like it's hard to keep with a story.
Well, just getting back to the Chinese element real quick. Remember last year we talked about this when China banned effeminate newscasters? That was like a thing. I'm looking at the headline right now. I remember we talked about it. China's broadcasting regulator has said it will ban effeminate aesthetics in entertainment shows and that vulgar influencers should be avoided.
Who's going to do entertainment news?
That's a very good question.
Well, when do all the older people in China die so that this doesn't happen?
Mm,
Mm-hmm. When is there like a clearing of a certain generation? Like right now, we've got a bunch of old white guys in Washington.
And how?
When is that change? When does that evolve in a country like communist China? Or is it just so entrenched in we're going to pass this, you know, this ideology down to the next generation to where it's that strong?
Yeah, I mean, I think unless you have people doing it willingly, it's the government making them do it. They don't give a shit, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, I mean, you have this dream of evolving. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you just take, you know, I remember Reagan talking about Mr. Gorbachev, take this wall down. You know, I mean, that was in high school. And now we got another nut job over there waging war in Ukraine. You know, Mexico's pretty much.
It's the human condition.
Staying on the road it's been on, Africa. It's sad, but weird.
It's an old operating system, the human condition. Mm. It's just not going to evolve, probably. It's our DNA.
Well, you kind of wonder, because talked about this with people as it pertains to, let's say, the Middle East. You know, you go, stay and demand change. And then you're kind of, I feel that way about California. Like, stay and demand change or fuck it, I'm going to Florida and save some taxes. Like, there's a kind of, in a micro way, there was a group of people who were like, oh God, Dave Rubin. Mm. Dave Rubin and his husband, Dave,
also
David,
Dave.
You know, they're like, we bought a house in Encino. We're staying. We're going to get Larry Elder elected. We're going to fucking turn this shit show around. We're going to fix California. And then like 10 minutes later, it's like, yeah, we moved to Florida. Yeah. So I think there's that. If you're in the Middle East and you can't stand the way it is, you're moving to the United States.
But how many, every 4 years we hear that from celebrities, if their candidate doesn't win presidency, they're all moving away. But everybody's where we left them.
Yeah, I mean, that's blowhardy celebrities who somebody got voted in who they dislike. But this is people are worried about taxes and crime.
And you know that so many of the – because a lot of those celebrities are really wealthy. You know that they cry Democrat, Democrat, Democrat. But when they go into the voting booth, you know they're pulling that Republican lever. Mm. Don't you think that is the case?
I do. I do think –
for some of them?
I certainly – if you –
because it's a facade.
Well, look, if they're first off, people do a kind of a bottom line finance thing. You know, when the Democrats are talking about a wealth tax and getting, you know, Gavin Newsom's thinking of getting from 14% to 18%. Yeah, if you're a really wealthy person and you'd like to be accepted in the social circles, you're showing up at the Newsom rally or, you know, pulling up in your electric car to Babs's house or whatever. But yeah, when the curtain closes, you may think, I'd like to save a few ducats.
Well, you know who challenged that?
Hmm.
Katy Perry, and she got a lot of shit because apparently
she
openly backed Rick Caruso.
Oh, did she?
And people are not happy about that.
But Rick Caruso is a Democrat. Mm. Oh, he says, I mean, he's under the flag of it. So you're safe. You're in on a technicality,
I
Katie.
I guess so. Do we have time for one more?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do, you guys pick, do you want to do tuna or french fries?
When is the election, by the way, for mayoral? It's coming up.
November.
It's in November.
It's Bass versus Rick Caruso. You got to go Caruso. Got to change it up. Anyone who's not in the system, I'm for.
Yeah.
And by the way, so the assholes, your argument of he's super successful. It's like, yeah, okay, good.
Great.
Good. You know he's rich, right? Yeah.
But
he owns a huge boat, right? Yeah. He's the guy who built the Beverly Center. Yeah. Yeah. Those are all, yes. Keep going,
waiting.
Dick. Yeah, waiting. Yes, that's what I want. Oh, versus done nothing, lifelong bureaucrat, sucking off the fucking teat of the taxpayer. That person?
Yes, them.
Yeah, okay, great. Yes, it's a wonderful argument you're making. This person's successful. Yeah. Thank you.
Develop things. I saw a giant yacht in Newport. It's quite giant. It's humongous.
Is it a mega yacht?
It can only go in certain places. It can't go into bridges, obviously.
Oh, yeah, like Bezos is, he wanted to get rid of that bridge. They said, no, sir.
Oh, really?
Well, and remember, he wanted to take that bridge down so his little boat could pass through.
Right, right. And those ships, those size boats, they draw a lot. They draft a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are like 20 feet. And they just don't dredge these canals and places, these marinas and stuff. They're not dredged that deep.
Oh,
so you
got
to be really – you either have to park offshore or you have to know exactly what you're doing when you pull into those marinas.
And you take a little dinghy in if you have
to? Yeah, exactly. Ah. They call them commuters now.
Oh, not
those
dinghies.
Little commuter boats.
Oh, wow.
That are like a 35 or a 40-foot boat. You know, that's a launch.
That's the scene from the romantic comedy.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
It's a kind of a little bit of a Pretty Woman vibe. Mm. You know, you got the guy and the chicks, you know, down and out, single mom. Of course, she's beautiful. She's, sure, you know, Julia Roberts at 26. But she's like, she's talking to her roommate. I think this may be the one. He wants me to meet him down the marina. He's got a boat. He's going to take me on his boat. And then she sees the commuter boat. And she's like, oh, my God, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. We
struck gold.
You know, and then as they start pulling up into the shadow
of
the yacht. Yeah, yeah. That's
good. Yeah. Laura Sangiacomo has a heart attack.
Yeah, maybe we get a sort of young J-Lo type. Yeah. She's a maid. You
Selena
know,
Gomez,
yes,
Vanessa Hudgens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to pitch to Brian Grazer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do tuna for the last
on
story.
Deck. Maybe we'll call it. I don't know. Just kind of spitballing.
Wait, is there like a baseball angle or something?
Well, we don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's ambiguous.
Okay, I understand.
Kids love it. Kids love ambiguity.
Ambiguity.
Yes.
All right. Well, remember this like story that we kind of all thought was a joke with this Subway lawsuit with the is it tuna, is it not tuna? And then they kind of threw it out and it went away. Oh, it's back. A federal judge in California has ruled that the lawsuit claiming Subway's tuna is not real may proceed.
Subway the sandwich shop.
Correct.
So foolish.
Yes. The lawsuit, which was filed last year in Oakland, claims the sandwich chain's tuna product, quote, partially or wholly lacks tuna as an ingredient and may contain other fish species, animal products, or miscellaneous products aside from tuna. The claims
I never can figure out the – first off – a lot of people hooked on Subway.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Hooked on. Like, I love Subway. You hear people say it all the time. And in a world filled with Jersey Mike's
Jimmy
John's and just corner GMLO's, the corner store where you can get the footlong stuff. And the price is the same, or maybe it's 10% more at this place. You know, it's 81 cents more for a footlong stuff. What is it? And what it is stupid people are like dogs in that they enjoy the same food. Doesn't have to be good food. It's just they know they love a Subway sandwich, and it's not even a good sandwich.
It's a familiar
sandwich.
It's a
Subway. It's like this familiarity thing. And I'm always, and especially when you're getting, I get the lobster bisque, and I was like, are you fucking nuts? It comes in a tub in the back, like it's congealed mayonnaise with pieces of imitation cod. Like why? Why? I like it. No. Like, it's the people that like, there are many Americans who, and I've gotten this argument with many people. I'm like, look, you got the Mrs. Butterworth. It's got the squeeze plastic container with the drip nozzle on it. It's just syrup.
Corn
and then,
syrup, yeah.
And then there's imitation maple flavor and stuff. Go to Trader Joe's. Yeah. Get a glass jar from Canada.
Yeah, Dave knows about maple.
100% pure maple. And they'll go, I like this better. And it's like, you like this synthetic. That's like, I would like to fuck a pool raft over a supermodel. I like the raft better.
It looks just like her.
I nail the cup holder. That's my move. It's like, don't you want Giselle Bundchen? Like, no, I'm used to the raft. Like, that's what it is. You grew up dumb. You got this stupid syrup. It's got imitation butter flavor in it. And you can't transition to the actual version of what it's imitating.
The thing you like,
familiarity
to like.
Breeds familiarity.
It's got to be a kind of a dumb though, right?
Yeah,
or something. I would reckon. I would say most people who eat pancakes want the plastic squeeze 100%. Bottle of Mrs. Butterworth over actual maple goddamn syrup in a glass bottle.
You're 100% right. It's got to be two-thirds or three-quarters.
It's fucking weird, right?
Yeah, and I don't pat myself on the back like this too often because I was a kid and I eat kid crap. But if we would go to some sort of pancake house, maybe it's international.
It's international.
Can't You can't, we'll never know. But anything like that, you know, they had the syrup on the table, the maple, the strawberry, the blueberry.
Oh, yeah.
And my parents would think, you know, she's a kid, put the blueberry, put the, you know, the, and I'd always, I would cry and I'd say, I don't want it. It tastes like medicine.
Oh, yes.
And it just never tasted good.
Yes. And I get that everyone got the Mrs. Butterworth when they were nine, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Probably enjoyed it. And then at some point, you start to transition into martinis, cigars, steak tartare, eating pussy. Like all the stuff.
It's not good.
It was frowned upon when you were nine. Now.
I like the evolution of what you just said.
It's considered a delicacy.
Yeah.
It is a delicacy.
I'm talking about the steak tartare.
Oh, okay.
Gina.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Oh, crotchants.
Gina That was the news with Gina Grad.
Shane Gillis got added to the lineup in New York City for the show at the Stand. Mark Norman and Chris DiStefano is going to be there. That'll be this Wednesday coming up. So I think that thing's going to sell out pretty damn fast. But if it's not, you can get a few tickets maybe left. Dave Coulier.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
Live and local. New episodes every Thursday exclusively on Pure Flix. And we got me and Lynch, Mike Lynch, doing our annual. Whenever I launch a new book, we'll have Lynch on. We'll take questions. First, I'll tell you about the Jordan Harbinger Show. A different kind of sponsor for this podcast, the Jordan Harbinger Show. If you're a fan of fascinating podcasts, and we're guessing you are because you're listening to this one, you should definitely check it out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. He'll talk to Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter. Go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity, or slight mindset tweaks that change how you see the world. So we enjoy the show. We've had him on as a guest. We've had him on me and Dr. Drew's show. And if you enjoy those shows, you're going to enjoy Jordan Harbinger's show. So you just search it out. It's the Jordan Harbinger Show. It's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. And you can get it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to finer podcasts, the Jordan Harbinger Show. Lynch, Mike Lynch, and we'll do that right after this. You rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.